When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
About chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo, tabbouleh, real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola fruit bar. Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today, hilarious comedian, writer, digital producer, the current social media editor at New York Magazine. We met because he edited and helped me with my Grub Street diet piece, and I thought he was a pretty fun dude. So here he is. Please welcome Zach Schiffman.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course, Zach. It was very fun to meet you, and I went down a nice little rabbit hole of your food content, and I was like, Zach is more than just an editor. This guy he bamboozled me. He's more comic than editor.
It's funny because when it comes to the Grub diets, it really like depends. It's like it's a lot of them is like they'll say by Zach Schiffman, where it's like, for example, with yours, it was like I changed a few things, but then for some people, it's like, oh, I'm like pulling teeth to find out where they went to eat. So it's like really the right. By is like so vague.
Right, right. Okay, so let's get into your fridge before we start talking Grub Street and New York Magazine and all that. You guys can see Zach's fridge on my Instagram at StandUpDan. All right. It's a single dude's fridge is what I'm guessing here.
I do have a roommate, so some is not mine.
Okay, so this is a roommate fridge. I don't see any lineation as whose is whose. It seems like controlled chaos. Take me through this. We'll start with the top row here. You've got two cold brews.
Those are mine.
First of all the labels are willy-nilly, okay? Nothing is facing out. We got your cold brews up top. We have a half a lemon slice just like perched up on the vegetable broth. You know, for someone in the food world, I expected more, Zach.
Well, there is sort of a delineation in that it's like sort of the right side is mine, sort of the left side is my roommate's. It's funny because like she always wishes it was more organized, but then it is always chaos on both of our parts. Wow, now I'm like humiliated seeing the label. Ah, thinking about all of this, the lemon, it's so funny because the lemon is normally hers. Like she's always drinking hot lemon water, but the lemon in this case is actually on my side. And those are my lemons from something I made the other day where I didn't need the full lemon. I think I made a salad and I think that, but yeah, it was from a salad, but like those lemons are mine actually. The cold brew is mine. I drink so much of that stuff, and I belong to the Park Slope Food Co-op, if people are familiar, where it's much cheaper, and they had like a big sign, this cold brew, and they had a big sign that said no back stock, so I was like, okay, gotta buy a few of these.
Wait, what does no back stock mean? I don't even know what that means.
It means like the co-op, the grocery store co-op does not have a back stock of this, so they're probably not going to be carrying this cold brew that I like any longer for a bit.
Oh, got it.
So I had to stock up because I probably will go through one of those bottles every 2 days, which is way too much. I have like a drink, like two giant cups of that in the morning, which is so bad for me.
Wow.
Probably so bad for me, but maybe okay. Every 2 years, the New York Times is like, coffee is amazing for you. And I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
And then every 2 years, they're like, it's actually really awful for you. Like they go back and forth on coffee.
That like little like box on the New York Times homepage where they talk about health things, I think is one of the scariest places on the internet because they like seemingly like find studies like out of nowhere. Like I think that they have someone who's like, let's just find whatever study we can for today.
I feel like there's a war on alcohol lately. A lot of these studies are like, there's absolutely no redeeming quality to alcohol. I don't care if it's red wine. I don't care what it is. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want to believe that at all.
Really? Wow, now I'm going to get so like galaxy brained 1 minute into this podcast. But it's probably because like these like non-alcoholic spirits are like sending them money to publish those things.
I'm down. I will get down with that conspiracy.
Immediately getting to the conspiracy theory about it. The broth, both of those broths should be thrown out. I think that neither of us can decide whose broth it is. And I don't think I've used broth in a while. So both of those broths definitely are not good anymore. It should be thrown out. That's the only thing in there that like definitely should be thrown out. But broth is like, you're like, oh, what if I need it? It's like, well, then it's a month later and you're not going to use it.
I'm so over broth. Honestly, 9 times out of 10, you can just use water and you'll be fine.
Oh, and the bouillon stuff. I love the bouillon stuff.
Yeah, the bouillon stuff is good too. And then what is this? Is this like a hot sauce?
That is a hot sauce that we share. That's Camino hot sauce. It's a brand called Tango. I wish you could see the label, but it's so good. And that is like, we trade off buying it. It's, I usually put it on avocado, but it's really good on anything. It's like this like sort of sweet hot sauce. Very good. Tango.
Fun. And then we go to the second row here. So I'm cutting it in the middle here. I'm assuming that you're on the right and she's on the left.
Yeah, I'm on the right. Correct. She's Gentile, so she's not going to have smoked whitefish salad. And so that's my smoked whitefish salad that I get. I go through a tub of that a week.
Okay.
Cottage cheese, which I eat a lot of.
Really? Why?
Cottage cheese, like, I feel like it's not big on TikTok right now, but I've been eating cottage cheese since high school, and I used to get made fun of because I didn't, like, for 2 years of high school, I didn't have a lunch because I was in too many choruses. This is 100% true. I was in 3 different choruses when I was in high school, and there's nothing I can do about that now. And so instead of having a lunch period chorale, which was the big chorus, I would just eat my lunch during chorus, which maybe was unsafe during while I was singing. And I would always eat cottage cheese every day. I would eat like a container of cottage cheese every day. And everyone would be like, that's disgusting. And I'd be like, no, it's actually amazing. You're wrong. And I'm like being really smart because like I can swallow this quickly and then stand up to sing. And every Wednesday, my chorus teacher would also eat cottage cheese. And we had cottage cheese Wednesdays, which I thought was a beautiful connection we had. Yeah, I've been eating cottage cheese forever. But now on TikTok, people are like blending it a bunch and like putting chocolate in it. But I think cottage cheese is a savory thing. Like I like to put like salt and pepper, olive oil, and like za'atar or something on cottage cheese, and I think it's just good with crackers or with a spoon.
That's pretty fun. I mean, I feel like I don't think I've ever had it and enjoyed it. I think every time I'm not zhuzhing it.
Yeah, you have to zhuzh it, and I also think people think it's like with melon. I'm like, well, that's disgusting. I think you have to eat it savory.
That's right. I don't know where it's like prosciutto with melon is a fun combo. Cottage cheese and melon is just god awful. Like, who wants dairy with, I don't know.
It seems like something a hotel like breakfast came up with.
I don't know if you sold it to me because you were like, it's great because you can have it real quickly and then sing. I don't think I'm going to be in that predicament anytime soon. And then over here, is this like a dolma?
Yeah, that's grape leaves. And I normally, I like, before I belonged to this like grocery co-op, I got them all the time, but the grocery co-op I belong to has really bad grape leaves. And so, but I went to Whole Foods the other day and I was like, I have to get them. So I do have grape leaves and I'm obsessed with the ones from Whole Foods.
And then is this like a fancy, this is the cottage cheese or this
That's
is
the cottage
fancy
cheese.
Yogurt? Okay, got it. What are these?
Those are full fat yogurt for something I'm making for dinner either tonight or tomorrow.
What are you making?
I'm making like a lemon dill meatball.
Huh.
Whenever my chicken that it's maybe thawing in there. I don't remember if it's in there. Whenever my chicken thaws, I will make those meatballs.
Wait, so you're thawing out a chicken and then you're gonna pulse it to turn it into meatballs?
No, I have ground chicken. Oh yeah, here it is on the bottom. Ground chicken that I'm gonna, whenever that, it's been frozen for like 2 months. But whenever that thaws, I'll make meatballs.
Okay, gotcha. And then back here, I'm assuming this is labneh?
Yes, I love that. I love labneh so much. My roommate always says that she's like, I'm always eating some combination of like pretzels and white cream, which is either cottage cheese or labneh, or the whitefish salad. Like, I'm always eating some sort of like cracker pretzel and white cream. Like, that is my go-to meal, always.
Okay, then we go to the bottom row here. Humongous, very phallic English cucumber.
Yeah, that's more phallic than the white cream.
That is. There's a lot of white cream and long cucumbers in this fridge. Yeah, these are English cucumbers. I thought they were Persian cucumbers for a long time, and it gave me a lot of Persian pride that we had such big phallic cucumbers, and then I realized, no, they're the English ones, and ours are actually pretty small.
For some reason, small cucumbers, to me, they don't have the right... They're not crispy.
Yeah. I get it.
They don't have the same crisp.
I don't know if we're talking about cucumbers anymore. And then this is a bag of, I'm going to guess, ramps?
It's dill for the meatballs. But those are really hefty roots, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never seen dill roots. That's some co-op shit right there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, look, it's a decent fridge. It's not awful. It's not the best we've had. It's not the worst we've had.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of rating I'm going to give this, but just keep an eye out on the Instagram, and we will see the rating. Well done.
Thank you for sharing your fridge
with us. Now, what is your title for Grub Street exactly?
My title is social media editor, but Grub is very small. There's only 5 of us, so it's very much like I do a lot of the Grub diets. It's very small, so it's very amorphous. But I'm social media editor for Grub, and then also for Curbed, which is like the New York City site. And then I blog a lot for them too.
I will say I don't normally read my comments section on anything I put up, stand up wise or whatever, because it's always just like awful for my self esteem. It's like, wow, the voice in my head is right, and it's commenting on everything. But my comment section for the Grub Street diet, it was a good one. It was good. A lot of love.
And the comments on the Grub diets are normally not that. Like, I took a look at yours. I didn't even know we had comments until I did someone's Grub diet that was, like, profoundly boring. And the comments were like, does X person have any joy in their life? Like, the person, they were just, like, ripped the person to shreds. And they were right. But yours, people, like, then that was how I discovered the comments. And people, well, you have, like, this incredibly dynamic, like, story. Like, I think people were thrilled.
It was a wild story. Applebee's made an appearance in my Grub Street diet, which I never thought it would, but a car accident got me there. But you have something that you do in front of the camera that I was like, oh, this is such a fucking good idea. I'm forgetting the name of the segment, but it's basically like waiting for a restaurant reservation, or like not having a reservation. You go into like a super popular restaurant and you time it to see how long it takes to get a res.
Yeah, it's called Impossible Tables. It was originally called, I think, The Wait. And then we changed it because it was like, that seems too vague. But, and there's, I'm sure, going to be places where there's not actually a wait. But yeah, it's going to be called, it's called Impossible Tables. So far, I've been to 2 places. I'm going to my 3rd next week. Yeah, it's where I wait as long as possible. I think it's also this thing of like, so far, every estimate they've given me has been shorter than I thought. I went to Bad Roman and they told me 4 hours and I got a table at less than 2.5. And then I went to Lilia, and at Lilia, they basically were like, no chance unless you sit outside in the cold. And then I got a table in 1:45. So,
okay, so many questions. The balls on a host or a hostess to say 4 hours is nuts to me. Like, what do they say it with a straight face? Are they like, I'm so sorry, this is going to sound crazy, but it's a I can't believe I'm going to say it, 4 hour wait. Like, any self-awareness at all around that?
Bad Roman wanted me dead the entire time. Like, they were like, how dare you think you can come here? And because like there is a bar, and which, by the way, was offered a bar table, which I didn't want. I wanted a real table. I was offered a bar table in like 12 minutes. So like when I turned down the bar table, they like basically had a gun ready for me. And also, I will say this, like I couldn't say this in the video, obviously, and I can't say this officially from Grub Street's point of view. But also, it was a quoted 4 hour wait for one of the worst meals I've had in New York City. Like an unbelievably disgusting meal. Cannot unrecommend this restaurant enough. Truly, what like it was like and this was like, I don't get meals expensed that often, and this was like, I was very, and I like, someone had recently told me a story of they had expensed a meal that was too expensive and they almost got fired from it, so I was really nervous. The bill was like crazy, but I like was trying to order the classics from this restaurant, and one of the classics is like this like $70 fillet, like it was probably a 6 or 8 ounce fillet with a cacio e pepe ravioli on it, and then you're supposed to cut into it, mm-hmm. and the cacio e pepe sauce like drizzles all over this steak. One of the most disgusting things in American history. Truly offensive to all food categories involved. It was such a tough steak. I truly felt like I was like in that SNL sketch, that recent one with Edgar Norton, where she's like, it was like the toughest steak with this like Elmer's glue consistency cacio e pepe sauce on it. Oh, it was foul, disgusting. Everything I ate there was, Bad Roman's like this very like kitschy, like supposed to be like weird decor, neon, but also like old new mixing, everything. All the cups they have there are unusable. I spilled all over myself. I ruined a shirt at this restaurant because all the cups are like, I felt like a baby. Like, I couldn't drink from these cups.
Wait, I don't understand. What is it about the cup?
They're all like, they're all like shaped in weird ways. Like, they look like a daffodil or something beyond stupid. And they're undrinkable. Like, these, and it's all, they're all like snow cones. They're all like shaved ice that they pour a drink on. this restaurant should be condemned. I'm like, it's unbelievable. This is all off the record, of course, but.
Wait, it's so crazy because this restaurant is like on every fucking hit list, you know, for New York right now.
It has to be on a different kind of hit list.
Well, the fucking word bad is in the name of your restaurant. So you're setting yourself up for failure. 4 fucking hours. Drives me crazy. Now, Lilia, I have actually never been to, and I've always wanted to go, but I've been successfully intimidated by what people say of like, you can't get a table. They're never going to want to have you there. They're going to fucking tell you to fuck off. But it seemed like a pretty pleasant experience.
Yeah. I mean, they were really nice and they like made it, they definitely were more defeatist. I will say like Bad Roman was like, you idiot, you better wait. You better shut the hell up. But like Lilia, they were like, you're not going to get a table, but you're such a sweetheart for waiting. It was like, bless your heart, sort of. But they have like, they right. sat me down. I actually was nervous editing the video because I was like, I was waiting, but they kept like bringing me Negronis, being so nice. I'm drunk by the end of it. Like I like could not use a few of the clips at the end. Kieran Culkin was there and he clearly walked right in, of course. But like, I was trying to get like a video of him and I'm like, it's a nightmare. Like I was clearly drunk by the end. And that's something I have to keep in check with in this series. Like getting drinks while I'm waiting.
Wait, so you were trying to get like a secret shot of Kieran Culkin there?
Yeah, and he's for sure not in it, but I was trying.
Wait, and did he have a reservation or he just walked in?
I mean, maybe his assistant or HBO called and got him a reservation. He probably had something set up, but...
It's funny, my friend Michelle Buteau, the comedian, I don't know if you know her, but she was in Soho and she was with her twins and her husband with the stroller. Goes to Blue Ribbon and wants to get a table. And they're like, we're so sorry. We have no tables available. Also, we are huge fans of your special. And she's like, then fucking move a table for me.
That's so funny. We truly have talked about that at Grub as being like, because like Carbone like has bodyguards. Like if I try and do this, like everyone's like, are you going to do Carbone? And I'm like, no, they like will beat me up. I'm 5'5". They will kill me.
Wait, you have to try. You have to try Carbone.
I think I have to go with like Drake. Like if anyone can get Drake to go with me to Carbone, I think I'll get a table. We'll see how long the wait is. Maybe we see how long the wait is with varying degrees of celebrities. Like maybe I go with Michelle. Maybe I go with Drake. Maybe I go with Robert De Niro and see who is most recognizable, who is most famous to get me a table at Carbone.
When you go to these restaurants, do you let them know, by the way, I'm doing a story for Grub Street, or they have no idea? They think you're just some Joe Schmo. Because I could imagine they're like 4 hours. You say, I'm doing something for Grub Street. They're like, your table's ready.
I am definitely trying to be incognito. And I think the truth is like I'm young looking and gay sounding, so like, oh, he's an influencer. That's what I'm thinking. They're thinking
A plus B equals C,
right? Exactly. They're like, oh, this like young gay kid. Yeah, he's gonna have a TikTok account. I assume that's what it is. But I like have a mic. Like I'm using my little mic, but I'm definitely like hiding it. Like I'm trying to hide from the hosts. And there's definitely plenty right. of shots that that I'm not using where I like am talking and then I immediately put my phone down because I don't want someone to like hear what I'm saying or be looking at me. But I guess that's also...
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a little incognito.
I like to hear that. Okay, so you have to go to Carbone. Where's the next place you're going to?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say. I feel like... But it's a... The New York Times just rated it the number one restaurant in New York. So we'll see if that... makes it that hard to get into.
Oh, interesting. I think I saw this list. Is it? It's like an Asian restaurant that I haven't. Is an Asian restaurant?
It's a, no. It's a new. It's a new chef. It's at Lincoln Center. Which is another like food deserty area. But there's also we've talked about like if I do it somewhere and then I'm like in a dense area of restaurants. Like, do I get quoted on a wait? Get quoted on a wait at another hotspot and see which one gets to me sooner. Like, there's a lot of avenues where, like, we'll see where it's going to go.
Yeah, I could see the problem being with a Carbone. If you actually try to get into Carbone, and then you post about it, then everyone's going to try to get into Carbone.
That's my fear, is I'm like, that's my, like, ethical fear with all of this. I'm, like, feeling bad. Bad Roman, I don't give two shits. Show up and ruin their lives. But, like, Lilia, like, the hosts were so nice that I'm like, oh, am I, like, going to ruin these hosts' lives by making it seem accessible when it's, like...
Totally.
I made sure to say at the end, like, I think part of it is, like, you can't think you're going to put your name down, go get a drink somewhere else, and come back and yell at them. Like, I am getting a table at these places because I'm staying there the entire time, making myself known, in a polite way and like checking in, you know? But I think that like if you go away, they're just going to forget about you. They threw away that piece of paper, you know? Like they remember you because you're there being annoying in a polite way.
So if you go to a place and they say, we have no tables, we're not going to have any tables, are you still going
to
wait?
I think both places try, like both places so far have tried to stonewall me and say no. And I'm like, what if I'm willing to wait? If a place like really says no, then that's the end. And I think that's the whole video.
I think it would be a very fun video to just see you loitering outside of the restaurant and just go in every half an hour.
I'm excited for the one where I get a table in 5 minutes. Like, I not just because I want to eat dinner, but also, like, I'm waiting. I'm like, there's definitely some of these places, like, and there's a few that are on the list where it's like, one that I might go to, I'm not going to say where, but, like, I went on a Monday and got a table in 10 minutes, and I'm going to go on, and I've heard it's impossible to get a table. I got a table in 10 minutes on a Monday, which albeit is a Monday in New York, but I might go on like a Thursday or Friday for this series, and I'm like, the entire time I'll be like, if I'm waiting 3 hours on a Thursday or Friday, everyone should know you can get a table here on a Monday in 10 minutes, you know?
Wait, you can't tell us which place it was? This isn't going to air for a while.
That one, I don't know if I'm going to do until June, but that place is Claude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, dude. They fucked me at the door there.
Really?
Because I'm like an investor in Estella, and that opens a lot of doors. And so I was like, yeah, I'm an investor in Estella. They're like, great. Yeah, no, you can get this. There's this like shit area in the front that is like, you're like in the, it's like some sort of like closet area that they just took the door of the closet down and you can sit in there. It's awful. And I was like, no, we're not going to sit here. And they're like, well, we just don't have any room for you. So interesting, though. Were you in the main dining room or were you in the front area?
I sat like in that closet.
I hate the closet.
But honestly, I will say this. It was amazing. I thought everything I had there was incredible. It was so good. And it's worth sitting in the closet and getting a table in 10 minutes. I was like, yeah, I'll sit in a closet if it's a 10-minute wait.
But the dining room looks so inviting and fun that I was like, fuck that. I'm not sitting in this vestibule.
The thing about, I will say, that restaurant that I like, it's funny because I don't think I come off like I work in food media and I sort of appreciate that. But I like, the waitress, like, I like kept complimenting their flatware. I think it's like the most gorgeous flatware. You don't notice when a restaurant has nice flatware until you notice it. You know, like most restaurants, it's like standard. And then they have unbelievably gorgeous flatware to the point where I think he was the owner came over and he was like, so you like the flatware? And I was like, it's amazing. He's like, I'm so happy to hear that. I spent way too much on it. I was like, yeah, you can tell because it's gorgeous.
I would be very worried that people would steal that flatware.
I know, right? Like people really do. I've never done that, but like, it's unbelievable stuff. It was really hefty. It was stunning. I'm still thinking about it.
My parents steal a lot from restaurants. But they do it like for keepsakes. Like, oh, we want to remember this restaurant, so we're gonna take the creamer.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, they have like a whole like little, and then on the bottom they'll write like the name of the restaurant and this and that. I'm like, this is like the cutest form of thievery ever.
That's so sweet. I like that. I'm trying to think of where I'd want to steal something. I'd want to steal like a gorgeous cup.
Claude people, if you're listening and you miss, you're missing some silverware.
Right, yeah, keep your eyes out.
You know where it is. I will say one of the best restaurateurs when it comes to walk-ins is Keith McNally. His restaurants, always a tough res, but if you walk in, they will move mountains to just like seat you. It's pretty wild. They're good. Like Balthazar and Mineta and those places.
Someone recently was making fun of me because I was saying that sometimes I'll go to yoga down the street from there and I'll go to Balthazar by myself after and it, like in gross clothes to the yoga mat. And someone's like, that's so funny that you do that. I was like, I don't think that's funny at all. I think Balthazar is like, I think midday, it's not like fine dining but like someone was like, that's so subversive. I was like, I actually completely disagree. Like, I think you have a wrong impression of Balthazar.
Yeah. Keith McNally likes to keep it so weird and New York-y in there that like anything goes in a way. Like his Instagram is so funny to me. I mean, it's a little unhinged, but it's pretty fun. But the best part is he puts in the like the hostess report of the night, like, and they just go down to exactly what happened, who came in, which A-listers. It's pretty great, but like they're so random. Like one of them was like, there were three girls at the bar who wanted us to raise the volume so they could start dancing, and we obviously obliged. I was like, what is happening at Balthazar?
His whole thing about James Corden, honestly, was genius. It was, like, an incredible way of getting people into the door with Baltazar. I think I went, because I was like, yeah, I want to see what's going on here. And I, like, had been recently, but I was like, I want to see what's in the air going on. And it was, it's honestly, like, all respect to Keith McNally, it's, like, Trumpian. Like, the way that he's able to control the narrative about his restaurants that are not new, I was like, this is incredible. You're, like, going after James Corden, which, like, whether he deserves it or not, it's hilarious. What you're doing is hilarious.
Yeah.
Everyone's paying attention. I'm sure it was impossible to get a table there for the week after. I like, it's, like, incredible, like, control of the media.
And he just kind of ragdoll. Like, by the end of it, I felt bad for James Corden because he just kept ragdolling him. He'd be like, McNally was like he was being like a Roman emperor, like, thumbs up, he's okay. And then the next week, like, he's down, he's out, he's not allowed in. And then Corden talked about it on his show. Like, he got, like, late night press for Baltazar.
It's a restaurant that's been open for God knows how many years. Like, it's, like, truly,
it's like 20 years, yeah.
Trump-level mastery of the press.
It was pretty great. We can all agree that cottage cheese is disgusting and needs to be banished from any and all fridges. But here's a question. What the fuck is it? Also, why the fuck is it? The origins of cottage cheese can be traced back to ancient times, with evidence suggesting that it was consumed by early civilizations such as the Babylonians and the Greeks. The name cottage cheese is believed to have originated in England during the 1800s, when it was made in small batches in people's homes or cottages. There's a fun fact for your dinner party. To make cottage cheese, milk is curdled with the addition of an acidic substance, such as vinegar or lemon juice. The curds are then separated from the whey and rinsed with water to remove any remaining acidity. The curds are then salted and mixed with cream to create a creamy texture. That's all a really fancy way to say it's frickin' curdled milk. Which brings me back to my original thesis. It's fucking gross. All right, I'm going to get to the questions that I ask every guest, starting with, what is your earliest food memory?
I honestly think my earliest food memory has to be something, like, I'm like, what's burned into my memory? It probably has to be something Jewish, like, it has to be, like a Passover or gefilte fish or something like that, just because, like, the repetition of it, I feel like it's finding the afikoman or something like that. I can't imagine anything other than that. Being that early.
Finding the afikoman is a great earliest food memory. I don't think we've had that yet.
I like, because it's like a game. It's like there's a reward involved with it. I was like, oh, I remember this.
Okay, what is your death row meal? Let's say you go back to Bad Roman. They say, we heard what you said on Green Eggs and Dan, and your wait is 7 hours. And you're like, fuck you, I don't want your food anyway. And you grab the filet with the ravioli, shove it in their mouth. They start choking on it, and boom, you're on death row. What is your death row meal?
I think my death row meal, I have a true answer, and then I have a level below the true answer. The true answer is Alice Norman shallot pasta. That is so good every damn time. And it's got, like, in the back of your teeth.
Wait, what pasta?
Alice and Roman shallot pasta.
Take me through it.
Have you never had it?
I think my friend made it once. Is it just, like, more shallots than you think could fit in a...
It's just, like, this tomato paste shallot anchovy pasta. It's so simple. And it was, like... the thing, like, you know, March 2020, and I made it, and I was like, there's no way it could be this good. And it's like, it's that good every single time, and I'm like humiliated. And it's this funny thing where I feel like it's like this whisper thing where, like, you talk to someone about it and they're like, yeah, it's so good. Like, people are like whispering, like hiding the fact they love it. Like, everyone I know is like making it once a week, but it's like, I've only had it like 100 times. Don't tell anyone. Like, no one wants to admit that they've had it this much, but honestly, it's amazing every single fucking time. It's crazy that it's this good when it's the simplest, stupidest pasta in the world. But then my, like, second level answer would just be like a very good ragu.
Wait, what is, so is it like an amatriciana? Like, what is it about the sauce?
It's just very, like, it's a little spicy. It's like a little, it's like a little spicy, but it's also like a little, like, tangy and sweet. The way I describe it is, I'm like, this is why I'm not qualified to work in food media, but do you know when you eat Cheez-Its and it, like, makes the back of your teeth tingle?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but way better.
Okay.
Okay. Where it's like that strong of a flavor.
Zach is going to be the next New York Times restaurant reviewer. Exactly. With these descriptors. And then a ragu, like a pasta ragu, like a ragu sauce.
Like a pasta ragu or like a bolognese, but I prefer ragu usually.
Got it. What is the best high-end meal you've ever had?
The best high-end meal I've ever had is, honestly, my favorite, at least in recent memory in the city, is Chouquette, which is not that even that high-end, but in terms of like popular
dining. Wait, you cut out when you said it. What is it?
Chouquette in Chelsea. Place?
Oh, Chouquette. Okay. I've never been there.
I went and had like ordered like everything and have never been so full in my entire life, but it's like small plates, like, you know, like Middle Eastern dishes. It's just incredible. And that's, I think, like, maybe not the finest dining I've ever had, but it is amazing.
Wait, I know that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Another tough table to get, right?
Yeah, I went at like 5 p.m. when I went.
Wow. What's your best low-end meal?
Honestly, is it just as kind of as a meal? Can it be a single thing?
It could be a single thing.
A 99-cent cone from McDonald's. McDonald's has the best soft serve.
Oh, interesting. Is it the best?
I think it's amazing.
They low-key have, like, they have great coffee. They have great soft serve. Like, it's like, come for the burger, stay for these random side things. I've never had their soft serve.
There was a summer when I was in high school, we would get, maybe it was at the, oh, that's inflation. It was, they were 50 cent cones in high school. I remember they were 50 cent cones. And we would every single day get a 50 cent cone. Wow. That makes me sound like I like am in like the Sandlot. I'm like, me and my buddies, we got a 50 cent cone. Okay, that's crazy.
In my day, it was like 3 years ago.
I'm 26. Like, what?
I was going to ask you if you like the sauce, but judging by how you get drunk at work, like you told us before, what is your favorite drunk food?
This is an inside joke only with myself. No one else is involved in this. I call it America's favorite snack, and it's just Colby Jack cheese and pretzel thins. But like, I will eat like an entire package of sliced Colby Jack cheese, and I'll like rip it to the size of one of those, like, you know, those pretzel, that like pretzel factory, whatever it is, thins. And I'll like eat an entire package of Colby Jack cheese. And I usually like to have a thing of sliced Colby Jack cheese in my fridge because I know that when I'm drunk, that is the only thing that I can have that will make me not be hungover in the morning.
Wow. Okay. I need to put a finer point on this. Colby Jack cheese.
Yeah.
So take me through that. Is this like is it like a spicy processed cheese that's like in a fun container? Fun packaging?
Not spicy. It's like the orange and white, you know, like marble cheese.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, weird.
And then, but like sliced, like thinly sliced, like deli sliced. And then there is a method to it where I take one of those pretzels that's like, this is an audio medium, but it's, you know, the size of like, say three quarters. And then I line it up to the cheese and then I rip the cheese around the quarter. So like usually it like pretty evenly matches the shape of it and like that. And then, but and this is, by the way, pretty fine motor skills when I'm drunk, but it's like, this is the most important thing. It's like the taking the pretzel behind it and tracing it to the cheese and then ripping it and then eating it like that.
Wow. Which is also in line with your thing of crackers and white stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Something with like a pretzel or cracker and white stuff. That's going to be the sweet spot no matter what.
All right, you're hungover. Let's say you couldn't find any Colby Jack cheese. You get hungover. What is your hangover cure?
I don't know. I'm like the worst hungover person in the entire world, but a cure is probably like a scone. There's a place near me that recently opened a second location even closer to me, and they have this like raisin bran scone, and I the other day was so hungover, and I've been getting this scone like 4 times a week where I'm humiliated. It's a $5 scone. I do not have the means to be getting a $5 scone 4 times a week. But it's an incredible raisin bran scone at Winner on Fifth Avenue in Park Slope. And the other day I was so hungover and I went in and I just bought two. And I was like, this is the only thing that will heal me. And I ate both. And I like thought I was going to vomit the entire walk there. And then I ate $10 worth of scones, which was only actually two scones, in like 10 seconds. And I felt perfect immediately after.
Wow. When I'm hungover, I never really think of baked goods. I'm always like greasy this, greasy that, or a pizza. But a scone is very... very civilized.
Yeah, bread. I'll go and just eat bread. Like I'll get a baguette and eat half of it. Like I need like bread when I'm hungover.
Okay, got it. That makes sense. Who's your favorite celebrity food personality?
Alison Roman. Under my breath, I'll say Alison Roman. Not actually.
I feel like Alison Roman is she's like acceptable again, it seems.
She is.
She had a
I just love that one. No, my real favorite is Melissa Clark. I love Melissa Clark, and I love in the New York, I love her, how she just like has been turning it out forever. And I love in the New York Times videos when you can tell that she's being fussy with the crew. You can tell that she's like established. She's older. She's not around for the bullshit that all these vloggers, the Bon Appetit people are doing. Cause there are times when you can tell that she's over the bullshit. There are so many videos, yeah. And I could even send you links where like she'll be like, you know, you don't need this many bowls for this thing, but my producer said it would look better. And like, you can tell that everyone in the room rolled her eyes when they said that. Cause she's like very clearly like a nice woman, but she's just Jewish. She's not going to lie. And like, she clearly is not, she like likes being in front of the camera, but hates all the bullshit that's come with like YouTube, like food making. And I like love how rude she can be on camera.
She's great. She was on the show and she is so delightful. I've always been obsessed with how she has this very kind of humble, you know, digital food series, but she's always in like a $10 million brownstone.
Yes. Oh my God. Like, the storage she has, there's one video where I was like, actually the New York Times should take this down, where like it shows her, she like does a kitchen tour and I was like, this is inaccessible in a way that no, like even like Elon Musk could not have her kitchen. Like the storage, I could not believe it. Everything she has, I was like, this is wrong. I think it's wrong to have this on the internet.
Right. In the West Village.
It's yeah.
Like, she's like in the West Village and has like a studio apartment is like her pantry.
Wait, like, there's also one video where she's upset that she's in the New York Times test kitchen. She's like, there's like one, she like, it's, oh, the thing is, I'm sure she's like beyond lovely, but she's just so honest in this like very like cavalier way. There's one where she's like, I don't really like cooking in the New York Times test kitchen. I was like, wait, am I the only one who heard her say this?
I love that we're like, she's our favorite food personality. And then we just kind of shit on it, but in a fun way. We love you, Melissa. What is your desert island food? So you're trapped on a desert island. One food you're going to have for the rest of your life. You will never get tired of it.
Chocolate nonpareil.
If you say cottage cheese, okay, thanks. I was going to say, if you say cottage cheese, this podcast is over.
Oh my God, no. Cottage cheese, no. I eat cottage cheese because I'm like, this is like filling and perfect. But those chocolate nonpareils that you like with the sprinkles, what, first of all, why is it called that? It sounds like a medicine. But like what does nonpareil mean? I don't want to know whatever it means. But like the little sprinkles, like the way those little white sprinkles, see another like, I got to get a grip with all these like little like white things, white cream, white sprinkles, whatever it is. But like the little chocolate gems with the sprinkles, I love those. I could eat an entire container of those, and I would. That
oh
would
my
be perfect.
God, the nonpareil. I don't know why it's called that.
But oh, yeah, it's French. Like, to me, it sounds like a nasal decongestant.
Nonpareil. Make sure you check with your doctor before using nonpareil. So these are, which ones are you into? You're into the chocolate ones with the. With the white? Yeah, with the white, not with the rainbow.
No, no.
Chocolate nonpareils. You can get them at Walmart for $15 a package. That's a deal.
Yeah.
What food can't you stand eating? Is there something you hate?
So I am really not a picky eater, but the only thing I don't like is a huge category of food. I don't like anything with a soft membrane. Like, I don't like dumplings. I don't like ravioli. Like, I don't like pierogies. Whoa. I don't like gyoza. I'll eat it, but, like, I don't... And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you're stupid for this. Where, like, I had a memory when I was... Like, I remember this so vividly. I was a kid, and I was eating some sort of, like, ravioli or dumpling. I don't remember what it was, but it's like with a soft membrane. And eating it, I, like, bit through it and scratched my tooth. And the sound of scratching my tooth, like... made me so upset in that moment when I was a kid that I was like, I swear this off for life. And I, to this day, I'm like, I'll eat it. But I just like, there's something about it where like, I just don't like anything that's like this, like, I don't like any soft membrane food.
First of all, you're taking all the romance out of dumplings by calling them soft membrane foods. That's disgusting.
Think about it. That's what this disgusting little treat you're all eating is.
No, it's a beautiful parcel. Is how I like to think about it. It's a nice little pillow of goodness. It's always a surprise. You don't know what's in there.
Reveal yourself. I want to know.
Soft membrane food. Okay, so last question, which is my favorite question. What is or are your restaurant pet peeves?
I feel like mine are similar to many others. I hate when a restaurant's too dark. Come on.
Too dark, huh? I hate too light.
Oh, no, no, no. Recently, there's a restaurant that I will not name, but has, like, ebbed and flowed in quality like crazy over the years. Like, when it first opened, it was okay, and then the pandemic happened, and they had this, like, amazing pandemic menu, and then and then at post-pandemic, they got a new menu, and the new menu was, like, disgusting, inedible, and they now have a new chef. I haven't been since they've gotten the new chef, but always, it was gorgeous on the inside. It was so bright, and they just repainted it to be this, like, purplish brown, this, like, disgusting brown. And it's like, I'm not going to go there now. It's dark in there. Like, they've created a dark restaurant, and I liked it when it was, like, bright and, like, it was, like, light wood. And it was, like, it's, every restaurant in New York is, like, obsessed with being The Handmaid's Tale, and we've got to end it.
Also, I think it's funny that you, out of politeness, will not name the restaurant. However, you fucking slaughtered Bad Roman for the first 15 minutes of this podcast.
A, they're like doing, this restaurant, I like feel like is probably not doing that well, given how many times they've tried to reinvent. Whereas like Bad Roman is like this giant restaurant in a motherfucking mall. Like they're doing, and it's like, right. All the TikTokers are like having one bite and then posting 100 videos about it. Like I'm willing to knock them down a peg.
Okay, that's a good pet peeve. Give me a couple more. I have a feeling you're more opinionated than that.
I don't like it when restaurants don't want to talk to me. I always like to ask the waiter what they like, obviously. And I don't like it when waiters don't want to talk to me. I'm like, I want to have a conversation, like, especially if it's a restaurant of a certain quality. Like, I want to know what they like.
Are you being, like, excited gay theater kid to the server?
I'm giving, like, Denny's right after a production of Footloose. But still, I want to be like, what's your favorite? I want to know, like, you eat here. I've seen The Bear. You all do family dinner after. I want to know what you like here. And when someone says to me, I don't know, I don't really like anything here, I'm like, oh, then I'm going to leave. If you don't like something on this menu, I'm going to go home. It's that simple. So like that, I think that's specifically the pet peeve. Is like I say, what's your favorite thing on the menu? And people go, I don't know. I don't really eat here that much. It's like, what? What? You've never that's had crazy. Anything on this menu?
That's that's a good one. Although I always feel like it's a weird question to ask the server because I don't know what that server likes. I don't know what their pet peeve is. If you were my server and I was like, what should I get? The salmon or the gyoza? You'd be like, do not. Fucking get the gyoza, they're disgusting. But little did I know that a gyoza touched you in the, you know, when you were 5 years old and you never forgot about it.
I think I would say, to be fair, I think I would say something along the lines of like, oh, people really love the gyoza, but I love X.
Right.
I think I would say something along those lines.
How's the gyoza? Oh, you mean the soft membrane? Yeah, some people like the soft membrane.
Yeah.
Not I.
If you like the way your teeth feel, then don't eat it.
I love it. Zach, you are delightful. You're fighting the good fight. I absolutely love your content. In fact, I was trying to search for the, what is it called again? The waiting for tables?
Impossible tables.
Impossible tables. It needs to be organized better because it just like comes up willy-nilly in Twitter on the Grub Street thing. But like, I feel like there needs to be a place where I can just go and watch them all because I didn't know that there were only two and I just kept searching for more. I was like, I need more of this.
It's so funny. People keep thinking I've been doing them forever. I'm like, no, this is brand new. I'm very like delighted and pleased with how people are reacting. But people have been like, oh, how long have you been doing this? I'm like, 1 month. But we are going to be building out like a page on the website, I believe, to like put them all in one place.
Okay, great. I highly recommend it. It's so much fun. You have you all hear his personality. So at the restaurant, he like talks to people who are waiting. It's very, very fun. Zach, thank you very much. Tell the people where they can find you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Zach Schiffman, or I guess at Grub Street, and on Twitter, if anyone is still on there, at Schleif. What a bummer. What a badge of honor I had in my blue check, and now it's gone. But at Schleif on Twitter, yeah.
Rest in peace, blue check mark. All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.